GetOnlineAthens.com and the Athens Banner Herald. This is the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Bulldogs Extra. Now, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right, welcome in to the Bulldogs Extra podcast from the Athens Banner Herald. I'm Ryan Dennis alongside Mark Weiser. To give you a little context, it's a Thursday morning here in downtown Athens while we record this podcast, and a little rainy, a little drizzly, and the Masters starts today. So I know a lot of you will be tuned to that if they can get it in. It appears to be raining in Augusta right now as well, but one thing they won't get in this week, Mark, is a lot of SEC football, Georgia being the kind of one of the teams that faced a little bad luck this week. Missouri has had to cancel the game with Georgia, and I guess this is something we all kind of expected at some point throughout the season, and it's hit hard right now.
It has. Before we get into that, let's touch a little bit more on the Masters, because that's going to be a sporting event going on in the state of Georgia involving some Georgia Bulldogs, three in particular. It's Masters week. Got to be excited about that. There's something for some joy.
Yeah, it's almost like it scheduled out just perfectly in a sense. And I know COVID's nothing to make light of, but I worked out for watching a lot of Masters.
I'll tie it into Georgia football in a minute, but first, I did call up. Are you into the Masters is doing this thing where you can, maybe they did it last year, where you can choose who you want to kind of get a shot by shot video thing on?
Well, you know, I am in a golf fantasy league, so yeah, I'm excited about that. I picked Rory this week, actually.
All right. Anyway, I picked the three Georgia guys to kind of get all their shots on my laptop, I guess, and as well as a guy named Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and even Freddie Couples, an old timer.
You know, there's a odds out for Freddie to make the cut. I think it's
yeah, he does it. But anyway, it's Brendan Todd, it is Kevin Kisner, and it is of course Bubba Watson, the Georgia guys. I did see that Fred Ridley, who is what's the title that he has, the
Chairman of
Augusta National. I guess he is a Florida guy because he took a shot yesterday at the Bulldogs saying that he made some reference to how Florida handled Georgia easily, I guess, in his Wednesday press conference. I did see Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus with the ceremonial tee shots at, I guess it was like before 7 a.m. this morning. It was 7 a.m. Tee times to start off, and they're going off on what, 1 and 10?
Yeah, I think a quarter of the field is going off on 10 this morning.
Okay.
And the rest are starting at 1.
But they're in a weather delay now anyway, so.
Yeah. I think I saw a tweet that said maybe they could start back around 11:30 or noon. But I do think the forecast looks a little better than it did. That hurricane, what is it, Eta, is maybe not hitting them as bad as they thought. So maybe some sunny golf on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
All right, so it was supposed to be Alabama, LSU. I think it was like at 6 p.m. on Saturday was going to be on CBS right after the third round of the Masters. And that is one of four games that were postponed this week due to COVID-19, including your Georgia Bulldogs against Missouri. Word came before 11 a.m. yesterday. Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity told me he was on a call with the SEC about 9:30 in the morning. So Georgia obviously would love to get the taste of that Florida, I wouldn't use the word debacle, but it sure feels like that, 44-28 out of their system, and we'll have to wait at least another week now for that.
Yeah, they, I guess in a sense you could say, well, they were set up for an upset, right? If you take the disappointment from Florida, you couple in all the injuries and...
You're saying Georgia was about to get upset by Missouri?
I didn't exactly say that to those exact words, but I think it's set up for an upset, yes, because of...
I don't think so.
Well, Kentucky and Missouri, didn't Missouri handle Kentucky pretty easily? And then, so you look at the way Georgia played against Kentucky, you look at the way Georgia played against Florida. You telling me they couldn't go into Columbia and lose?
I don't even remember what happened with the Missouri-Kentucky game.
Yeah, so I don't think Georgia's looking like the juggernaut at the moment, and a lot of that's due to injuries. A lot of that's due to quarterback play, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a little bit. But I mean, I wouldn't say they couldn't go into Missouri and lose. So it might be best that they get a little off week this week.
Missouri won 20-10. It was not like it was a domination.
Georgia beat Kentucky 14-7. So that wasn't a domination.
14-3.
Or 14-3. Yeah. Right. Either way.
Look. Georgia, Missouri, we'll see where that lands if they reschedule for December 19th, if they shuffle around the schedule again. And
because Missouri is already has a 12th.
Missouri's December. Playing Vanderbilt. But, I mean, if the SEC has to decide whether they get in another Georgia game or a Vanderbilt-Missouri game, which has no real bearing on the SEC East.
Well, I don't think that one will either.
Well, but, I mean, if there's any mathematical shot that Georgia you know, still was not eliminated, you know.
That would trump the Vandy Mizzou game. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Let's what do you want to do? Do you want to by the way, we had a guest lined up to talk all about Missouri from the Columbia Daily Tribune, Eric Bloom, but no need for that now. So it'll just be Ryan and myself breaking down. There's so much to do with this game. Where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we start with the quarterback situation? Obviously, hot topic with Stetson Bennett. I know you wrote about it earlier this week, in fact, at onlineathens.com. Let's put in plugs early, onlineathens.com, and read all of Mark's content. But Stetson leading a good good game. Bulldogs go up 14-0. Then separated shoulder? What was the exact injury there to Stetson?
Kirby said first he thought it was a separated shoulder, but then came back and because he was pressed on it and said it was a sprained AC joint, and that's what Georgia was later that evening, or I guess that night, able to confirm through Ron Corson. So that's what it is. Sprained AC joint. Stetson did not practice or did not throw Monday or Tuesday in practice. All signs were pointing to JT Daniels. Mm-hmm. Being the possible guy to start at Missouri, and then, you know, with the game getting postponed, they, you know, went to a different type of practice schedule. There was no game to prepare for. All the quarterbacks that were available, I'm sure Stetson Bennett didn't throw.
Right.
But the other guys did, and it was more of a, fundamentals and spring practice and take a look at the younger guys type deal, which I presume it will be the same today on Thursday, and I'm not sure if they're going to go Friday, Saturday, or what their schedule is going to be. They'll have a game week next week against Mississippi State. We'll see what happens with that. Mississippi State was not even practicing as of Wednesday. We're hoping to get back in their building Thursday, but they have some numbers issues at a couple positions, so that'll be worth watching.
Right, absolutely. And, of course, that was supposed to be Georgia's first home game next Saturday in quite a while. So I know the Bulldogs are looking forward to getting back into Sanford Stadium. So hopefully that game can continue.
Getting back to the quarterbacks, Stetson Bennett and Dwan Mathis combined, 9 of 29, 112 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Neither of them, obviously, a winning performance. And Bennett, had the shoulder deal that he was trying to fight through. But, no matter who was throwing the ball for Georgia, there were open wide receivers. There were guys that you could definitely see some big plays downfield. The balls were not on target. More often than not, they were overthrows on a couple of occasions to the tight ends. There were drops, it was John Fitzpatrick, it was Darnell Washington. Neither of them had a catch, but each of them had a drop. Darnell's was a little bit, would have been more of a great catch type deal. But you need some help, especially when a quarterback is not, on his game. And, you've seen Dwan Mathis now with two extended performances or two extended periods starting against Arkansas, filling in against Florida, and there's no reason to think that Georgia will be turning back to him unless, for some reason, they still don't feel good enough about JT Daniels' knee and his mobility.
Yeah, it looks like JT's the guy right now, from what we can tell, so I don't know.
But Stetson now will have, 10 days more time to get his shoulder ready, and, you don't know. I mean, you think, given where the season is, that you might as well just put JT Daniels out there and see what he can do, because Bennett, obviously, for the last since the second half against Alabama, has not been playing the type of football that Georgia needs.
Right. It seemed like not a convenient injury. You hate to say that, but it just seemed like the it gave the excuse that they could move on there in the second half against Florida.
All right. Why don't we talk about the defense and some other things as we move on? Let's take a break now and come back and talk about that.
All right, back into the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner Herald. You had mentioned going into break there about the defense, and it's a defense that, I know Kirby doesn't want to blame the massive amounts of yards and points that were put up by Florida last week on the depleted defense, but, I mean, that was one of the biggest things is, when you had Lewis Seen go out he was injured on the play, but he got called for targeting. And then you were already missing Richard LeCount, missing, a couple of defensive linemen there. It took its toll eventually, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to be using the injuries as a crutch because the guys that were available and, many of them very highly talented, recruits, they just didn't cut it in terms of, making the plays, miscommunication hurt a lot. Georgia was killed by the wheel route. They were killed by running backs out of the backfield.
Now, was that miscommunication or just bad matchups on Georgia's part? Because a lot of times it looked like, had a linebacker on on somebody that just didn't either cover them well or got kind of picked on a cross type of deal or just straight up bad communication.
I would say a combination. You could break down each play and decide if it was a matchup or there certainly were some pick plays, but there also were times where Florida schemed it up well and created those mismatches because of communication issues. You had, Malik Davis with 5 catches for 100 yards. You had Wright with 3 for 71. You had Damian Pierce from Bainbridge, Georgia, mm-hmm. Kirby Smart's hometown, 2 for 41. You lose the star tight end, Kyle Pitts, and you have his backup come in and really hurt him as well.
Well, he was wide open on that one, so.
Yeah. So Alabama hurt Georgia where communication was an issue with some of the things that they schemed up. We'll see if Mike Leach and what they got going. I mean, that offense at Mississippi State has not been hitting right. Close to all cylinders, so, maybe that's not going to be the opportunity to do that with what they have personnel-wise. But, injuries were a factor. I mean, I think they missed Richard LeCount a lot more than you might have expected, and losing Lewis to a clear targeting call was not, advantageous. I mean, Major Burns came in
true freshman, right?
Yeah, true freshman, so. Major Burns. And then Christopher Smith has been back there as the next guy up at safety. But you're seeing Tyson Campbell, with some tough matchups, some 50-50 balls, and he's, been on the wrong side for a couple of touchdown.
It seems like, sometimes, well, the Alabama game where he just got blown by, but he's in pretty good coverage there. It's just good pass, and those guys are a couple inches taller, seem to outfight him for the ball. So, but they do seem to keep picking on Campbell, though. You think back to the Auburn game when he was up against Williams for Auburn and had a great game. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just a matter of good throws and good catches with obviously great players going up against, well, I guess, who Georgia feels is its best cornerback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Dominique Stevenson,
right.
One play, he maybe lost his footing, I think it was, or jumped up and fell down.
Yeah.
You had N'Kobe Dean kind of, I think I remember him being kind of slow to react once when Davis, came out and got beat by a couple steps. You would say that that Dan Mullen, schemed it up right and probably outcoached Georgia in this game.
Yeah, probably a little bit, which would only be the first time in, what, 4 or 5 matchups that Mullen had out-schemed a little bit. Again, I think, you take advantage of an injured Georgia defense, and again, like you said, I think missing Richard LeCount, who I think is out at least 5 weeks or so, according to what Kirby told CBS before the game. So, I mean, that's pretty much the whole season. So all I can see is he might get back for a bowl game, which That's going to put George in even more hurt.
Yeah, Kirby was asked about LeCount's status in terms of when he might be back on Tuesday night and said, well, that would basically depend on how long the season is. You know, I don't know then if he was thinking that the Missouri game might be postponed. So, you know, if the game is December 19th, that's clearly more advantageous for LeCount being back and he could play
right
in that game and then a bowl game if he so chose. But Kirby said that LeCount was still dealing with some open wounds from his dirt bike wreck, couldn't get back into the pool yet for rehab, but has been, you know, over at practice and I guess in some team meetings, but you know, I guess can't get fully back to the kind of rehab he wants quite yet until he heals up.
And speaking of injuries, obviously a serious one to Marcus Roseme. How do you say it? Jack Saint, I believe, on that touchdown. That's another thing where, you know, it's just bad luck for Georgia in that game where that was the same play that Stetson kind of injured his shoulder on. He took a hard hit and, you know, threw a great pass to Roseme there, who got rolled up on, and I think they said it was a dislocated ankle with a fracture. And it was one of those things where, you know, you yell at your TV for CBS to keep showing in that play, and it made you hurt every time. But they said he did have surgery earlier in the week and should be a full recovery, which is good to hear. I mean, I know they always say that, but you know, hopefully for Marcus, he can come back and fully rehab that. And that's just another blow to the Georgia's team right now.
Yeah, Kirby made a point of mentioning that, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, what does this mean with the for strength and conditioning if all these guys are getting injured? Is there some kind of issue there or the training staff? And his point with the Marcus as one of the instances was, you know, the guy just got clipped on the ankle. I mean, it wasn't like something that could have been avoided through some kind of, you know, better type of training. So, you know, certainly some bad luck for Georgia. George Pickens gets some even more time to come back from his upper body injury with this postponement, and Georgia certainly can use him. You saw Demetrius Robertson starting to get more playing time. You saw Jalen Johnson was, you know, targeted on I think it was Stetson's last interception, maybe, I guess.
Of course, Landers got more playing time because
Landers targeted five times, yeah. and they just couldn't hit him. You know, most of those seemed to be deep ball shots, and you know. I mean, we'll see if JT Daniels can make that throw. I mean, yeah. People talking about Kirby's talking about how he has, you know, very good arm strength. Maybe he has more accuracy on those.
Now, why do you think that they haven't tried him up until now? Do you think he's just wasn't healthy? I know we're all speculating here, but I mean, would he really be behind the two other guys that have struggled at times to perform? I mean, obviously we don't get to see practice and all. But, you know, when you're a five-star recruit who was, the third quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, you expect him to be, you know, up to that caliber, I guess. And if Kirby keeps saying that he is stuck behind Stetson Bennett, a walk-on. All right, we're back, I think. We had a little technical glitch there. But I think I was talking about JT Daniels, and again, we were speculating, but why would he not have had an option by now? Just health? Or is he really just behind those two other guys?
Well, I mean, you look at this quarterback situation. I mean, Stetson Bennett was not getting practice work to gear it up in the preseason right. to be starting the opener. So, you know, you can only work basically two guys, quality work, and Georgia had been doing Stetson and Dwan Mathis with JT, who clearly had mobility issues coming off the knee, wasn't cleared until the second game of the year, and, you know, was working down on the scout team to get the kind of work you know, just to keep him active. Now, you know, did they not see enough from him down there to move him past Dwan? Clearly not. You know, Georgia was seeing enough of Stetson that they liked him. I mean, he beat Auburn, he beat Tennessee.
Arkansas saved that game.
Yeah. But you know, when push came to shove and Dwan Mathis got another chance, another opportunity against Florida, you know, that's two during games bodies of work that just didn't cut it. So, yeah. You know, you have Bennett out now with the shoulder or not able to throw at least Monday, Tuesday this week. You have JT Daniels, a guy that started full season against Southern Cal. And now clearly this seems to be the time for him to go there. Some would argue he should have already been in there against Florida, you know, with the game on the line. But you know, presumably he didn't have enough quality practice work. You know, could he have thrown better than the 35% or whatever? Yeah. I would say probably.
And, you know, DeJuan shows you glimpses. I think the touchdown pass to Kiaris Jackson there in the fourth quarter was a good moment for him. You know, he read the defense and found an open Kiaris Jackson, but then he has moments where it looks like he's overthinking things, you know. It's like, I think there was a moment where, I can't remember which tight end it was wide open over the middle, but he took an outside shot and overthrew the guy. So that's the things that you hope, or if you're a Bulldog fan, that JT Daniels can come in, have a knowledge of, you know, reading the defense properly and hitting big plays kind of like that over the middle. All right, dadgum gremlins keep getting us here. I think we were talking about quarterbacks again, but let's move on. Of course, again, onlineathens.com, read all the Mark Weiser's content, and I know he talked. Where does Georgia go from here? I think the thought is now under Kirby, when you have number one recruiting class every year, that you should be winning national championships right now. Again, we've gone into detail about how injuries have kind of decimated the team this year, but where does Georgia go? I mean, if they can salvage what?
Wait, speaking of injuries, we didn't mention Kendall Milton at all.
Yeah, that was
that was the other example he gave with with.
You know what that reminded me of? A little like Bo's injury. I know it's not that serious, Bo Jackson, but that kind of odd turn where it looked like he might have pulled his hip out of place, but I guess it was just a knee, wasn't it?
Yeah, let me look up. But you know, when I watched the replay of it, I'm kind of want to pull up to see what I saw about that. So many injuries, you kind of forget what. Didn't he take a helmet on that or something?
No, I think he just got kind of, his leg got pulled back and it looked kind of like odd, like he was straining to go forward. And I think Kirby called it, I guess his dad called it an MCL sprain on Twitter. And that's where we kind of heard that news. But yeah, it looked like one of those, like I said, if you remember back to Bo Jackson's injury where he got pulled down the sideline and it tore his hip out of place. Now, I know it's nothing that serious, but that's what it kind of reminded me of when it happened.
Yeah, I don't even have the note on that. But he's out for about 3 or 4 weeks. But Kenny McIntosh, the good news, is supposed to be back. Was going to be back for the Missouri game. So you know, crazy injuries. I mean, how much do you can you attribute it to the long layoff, no spring practice? You know, I mean, every team's dealing with it. So you know, definitely the worst. That Kirby said it's been the worst since, you know, probably the last at least three seasons.
Yeah, I think you know, when you look at Georgia, they hadn't really been impacted by COVID, apparently, as far as we know. You know, they're not the team that's having to cancel games because of it or anything. But yeah, when it comes to those types of injuries, you know, it's hit them hard. And I can't remember a time under Kirby when they've been kind of, you know, such bad luck, so to speak, as far as the injuries go. And I know to Kendall, that was kind of, you know, it's bad to see again, because kind of like Roseme, you got a prized freshman there who's starting to show themselves, and then boom, hit with an injury like that.
You know, one thing that I would say would be troubling when you talk about injuries, you talk about, you know, the breakdowns on defense, is that, you know, if you look at Kyle Pitts and you look at Kadarius Toney, those aren't the guys that necessarily killed you. Now Kyle Pitts did have the touchdown catch. I think he had two catches total. But they found other playmakers all over the field, no matter who was, you know, running the route. Kyle Trask was you know, effective all day. You know, I do a Heisman ballot top three for, you know, USA Today. And, you know, he certainly climbed back onto my list. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia now, this has happened against Alabama with another Heisman contender, Mac Jones, against LSU with a Heisman winner, Joe Burrow. Joe Brady was a guy calling the plays. It was very effective up in the box. you know, these elite quarterbacks, elite offenses are too much for a Georgia defense that was thought to be the best in the country. And, you know, they don't really have a chance this season unless somehow, you know, that, you know, 8% chance or whatever it might be to get back into the SEC championship game to go up against another elite offense, which would be Alabama. You know, they're going to probably, you know, go up against a Missouri if that happens, a Mississippi State, a South Carolina, certainly a Vanderbilt, where the Georgia defense will do what it's done, which is, you know, keep the team out of the end zone, shut down the running game, even if you don't have Julian Rochester, even if Jordan Davis isn't back from his elbow injury. But those aren't the games that define, I think, whether you're a great defense or not. It's being able to, you know, I mean, you look at the Alabama game. If Georgia had a quarterback that could, you know, go blow for blow with Alabama, you know, that didn't self-destruct in the second half there like Stetson did with the picks, you know, Georgia kept them to, what, 41 points? Yeah. I mean, you're seeing games these days where teams are winning. I mean, look at that Clemson-Notre Dame game. You don't have to be a great defense. You just have to be a decent defense enough to keep your offense in the game. And Florida certainly doesn't have a great defense. You saw them get, you know, chewed up in some early season games. But they certainly have an elite offense now, and Georgia doesn't. That's the difference.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We've heard a lot of rumblings, and, you know, it's time for Georgia to do this on offense and all. Well, I think that's why they brought in Todd Monken. You know, he was going to bring a new look and a new style, and I just don't think he has the opportunity to do it with the quarterback situation being the way it is. You know, I think Georgia would love to outscore people 55-48 if they had to, you know. Obviously, Kirby being a defensive guy, that's where their bread and butter is going to be. But when you go up against these offenses, like you said, in Alabama, which has adopted that type of style where you try to put up a lot of points, LSU last year, Florida now, you know, I think the right guy needs to come in here. And I think Georgia has that next year with the guy from down the road, Brock Vandegrift. And, you know, who knows? Maybe JT Daniels is the guy that can do that. But we'll have to see. Speaking of Brock Vandegrift and recruits like that, soon we might bring in our recruiting reporter, Jeremy Johnson, to discuss a little bit about recruiting. Maybe next week we will bring him in to talk a little bit about where Georgia's heading on that front. But like I was saying earlier, you know, where does Georgia go? I mean, this season can't be looked at as a failure completely, right?
Well, I mean, if you're not in the SEC East, if you're not the SEC East champion and you're not playing in Atlanta and you're the Georgia program that's been there 3 years in a row and you have aspirations for getting to the college football playoff, I mean, I don't know if I would use the word failure. You could use that. I mean, you're probably graded on a pass fail, I guess, right? You're either doing that or you're not doing that.
Right.
And, you know, playing in the Peach Bowl, if Georgia wins out, which, you know, might be the landing spot, you probably would feel like the Sugar Bowl, you know, has the last couple of years in that, you know, it used to be a good, I mean, Georgia didn't play in a Sugar Bowl type deal before, or since 2008, before Kirby got here, right, when that Hawaii, that season?
Yeah.
Was that was 2007, 2007.
Well, it was seven season,
yeah.
Yeah, eight.
That's not what you're paying Kirby, almost $7 million a year, and paying his support staff and his assistant coaches, you know, his coordinators more than $1 million a year. So I'm going to not say it's a failure, but I'm going to say it's, well, I guess if you're saying pass fail, you're either there in the playoff. Look, if Georgia went to the SEC championship game and lost again to Alabama, and maybe it was a little tighter than that game in Tuscaloosa, I wouldn't necessarily say that's a failure. You'd say you fell short. But not getting to the championship game, you know, that's kind of that's not going to sit well for anybody.
So is Kirby on the hot seat? Is that what you're saying? Hot seat talk?
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Well, moving on from football just a little bit, I know we talked that Georgia football seems to have avoided some of the COVID, but I know some of the other programs have not. Who we got? We got Billy Lassane in soccer. has contracted COVID and is in the protocol.
Today is Thursday. Billy Lassane was supposed to be back at practice yesterday. Okay. The women's soccer team, there is no men's soccer team, so we just call it the soccer team. They're playing Auburn in, is it Orange Beach, Alabama?
That's where the...
Yeah. On Sunday, Manny Diaz, the men's tennis coach, they had a match canceled Sunday at home. He tested positive, had some symptoms, but the release said he was feeling, okay or pretty good. This is not really their prime season anyway. I think they're limited to 8 hours a week of practice now. So I think they were undergoing a round of testing on the team on Monday. I hadn't heard, you know, how that turned out, but, you know, he had a men's basketball assistant coach,
Chad Deller,
that, you know, has been back for more than a month now after testing positive, and he had a rough bout with it. Didn't have to get hospitalized. But Georgia, yeah, they've avoided, the football program has avoided, you know.
As far as we know.
Right, well, we haven't noticed anybody missing at a game, and there hasn't been an explanation about an injury that, so, I mean, you know, it's a knock on wood situation. You know, they always say it's, in, you know, until your next round of testing, you find out how you did. But Georgia certainly has been much better, gotten through this better than many other SEC teams, as you see, all these games getting postponed this week.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Chad Deller with Georgia basketball. Hot off the presses, right? We got a Georgia basketball schedule, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of games in Stegman Coliseum. Now, we don't know yet the capacity of the crowd or anything yet in Sars Stegman.
Yeah, we do.
We do? Okay.
We've reported that. Thank you.
I couldn't remember if it was volleyball we had reported on or what. They're all running together.
It was, you know, Greg McGarry told me it was going to be about 1,700, and then I was told now that, you know, that might include media and, you know, some other folks. So it's really going to be closer to probably 1,600, I think, as the attendance. You know, this home schedule is not really going to demand that people get out there. I mean, unless they really want to just support the Bulldogs, and a lot of folks do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm just going to read you off. They're playing the first eight games at home. You do have Cincinnati on December 19th as kind of the marquee game. But otherwise, it's a chance, in my mind, to build up some W's with a very young team, the team that will probably be picked, you know, either last or second to last in the SEC, probably. You got Columbus State, Gardner-Webb, Jacksonville, Montana, Samford. I mentioned Cincinnati, then Northeastern before you play Mississippi State to open your home season. And then you go on the road against LSU, not till January 6th. Mm. So that's what that looks like. And I'm sure there's diehards that will fill up that 1,800 or
so. As we were talking off air a little bit, it seems that the Memphis game is gone. They're supposed to host Memphis this year as part of the home and home with them.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech obviously is gone as well, which, you know, I didn't tweet that part out because I tweeted it out yesterday when Georgia Tech put out their schedule.
Right. So,
or 2 days ago, I guess it was. But you know what? This is a Masters weekend because there's no Georgia football. I guess Georgia fans can watch Florida, Arkansas, and we didn't mention, but Sam Pittman is home after testing positive, will not be at the Swamp, and Georgia fans can root, of course, for the Gators to lose. Sam Pittman said he's hanging out with his dog. He has a...
The Bulldog, right?
Maybe it is. I don't know. But Sam Pittman, I guess he has like a maybe a guest house behind his regular house, and he's staying at the guest house, and his wife is staying in the regular house as she tested negative and is staying away from him.
Good. Yeah.
But it sounds like, I mean, he kind of used the word depressed yesterday. He's away from his team, and you know, he talks to them on Zoom calls, and then when they go out to practice, he waits there in that guest house for the film to come in from his crew so he can break it down. So you know, he does have the companionship of his dog.
That's good. Again, I mean, I think everybody in Bulldog Nation likes Sam Pittman, and it's pulling for him to do well at Arkansas. Hey, before we get out of here, pimento cheese or egg salad?
You know what, that's a good question. I'd probably say the egg salad. I'm not a huge pimento cheese, but I do like, I've run across some good pimento cheese like dips recently, with the nachos.
A little celery
with
or
the
something?
Nachos type thing.
Nacho.
Yeah.
When I've covered the Masters the past couple of years, got denied this year because of, too few of press credentials to give out this year, but, you know, I eat probably a 2-to-1 ratio pimento cheese to egg salad because those are just so delicious. And I bought some pimento cheese to eat today while I watched the Masters, and maybe tomorrow too, but it will not live up to Augusta National style pimento cheese, but that's the COVID life we live in right now. And yeah, so anyway, enjoy, I guess, now an off weekend for Georgia. Watch a lot of Masters. Maybe a little football if there's any to be played. And I guess we'll come to you again next week leading into Mississippi State, if that happens.
All right. Sounds good. And hopefully we can this football season will not, have as much disruption as this had this weekend. Although given the cases that we're hearing about nationwide,
yeah,
fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Talk to y'all again next week. See y'all.
See ya.